Before we have our seats, can you please put your hands together for my pastors, Pastor Kia and Pastor Aaron? For the privilege to do this today, please have your seats. Thank you. So, I was telling my wife the other day that I feel like this is probably the biggest setup of the year. Bros, welcome. Not necessarily because I'm up here. I mean, it's hard enough being up here. But because this second time I'm having to do this in a row, it's like there's only so much you can say about Christmas. Jesus Christ was born. There was a manger. So you said it last year. What are you going to say again this year? I mean, I'm not picky. Picky is when I can, you can bring like 10 sermons out of one verse. I'm not quite there yet, you know, but God help me. Thank you for those that said amen. Thank you. I could use an amen or two. Okay, so this morning, very quickly, we will be looking at the Christmas story from a slightly different angle. Not from the typical Mary gets an email from Gabriel saying, you're going to have a baby, and she travels out of the country to have a baby. That's not what we're doing. We're going to be looking at the book of John. So if you have your Bible with me, projector, please help us. We're all going to read together, and you'll understand why later on. We're going to read the book of John, chapter 1, starting from verse 1. Through to 13. It's a short portion of scripture, but I want us all to read. Projector, John 1, 1 to 13, please. Okay, together, can we go? 1, 2, go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Finally, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Praise God. Does that sound good to you this morning? So, when I was told I was going to be doing this, I was like, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm going to need a lot of help here. And he led me literally to the book of John. And when I read it at first, I'm like, there is no nativity story here. There isn't, you know, the usuals. And I'm wondering why this. But as I read it a second time, one word kept jumping out at me. Can you guys get what that word is from reading? Sorry? Light, bless you. So I'm wondering, I'm like, It's funny, between verse 4 and verse 9, light was mentioned 7 times. And I'm wondering, what is this about light? So it really got my attention, and I began to dig a little deeper. If you read through to the end of to verse 18, between verses 1 and 18, it felt to me like John literally summarized Jesus' mandate. Which is very unconventional. I mean, it's the beginning of the book. You should start with his birth. Tell us a bit about all the drama that happened. No, he just barely mentions it. The word became flesh. Simple. So I'm wondering, but this light, I was mentioned 7 times. There has to be more to this light than meets the eye. And after reading, I was able to pull about 5 attributes of light which, like I said, summarize Jesus' mandate. So I'm going to start with the very first one. Number one is that light brings good news or joy or hope, depending on how you want to see it. And that can be found very easily in verse 4. Projector, if you can give me verse 4. Just put it up on the screen. Yeah. So the first thing is that light, first of all, it brings good news, it brings joy, it brings hope. Which is little wonder why the psalmist says in Psalm 30, verse 5, that the Lord... what's it called? Okay, so now I'm nervous because Speaking and PM, I'm here and my scriptures are beginning to jump out of my head. If you can give me Psalm 30, verse 5, I would really appreciate that right now. Awesome. So, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. So, I don't know if you've ever had a long night. Maybe your child is ill in the hospital, or you have an exam coming up the next day. Somehow, the more morning draws near, you sort of feel like, you know, there is hope. You sort of feel like, okay, we can get past this. That's exactly one of the first things that light does. So Jesus Christ coming to earth, the first thing he did was to settle this hope, this joy, because it was a dark world. So first things first, hope, check. Second thing he cleared was darkness. Verse 5 of that same John 1 says, the light shines in dark, and the darkness has not comprehended it. And as I read it, I paused. If you know anything about me, small, you know that I like English very well. So I'm reading through, and I found out that in the previous verse, there's a lot of past tense. The light was, God was, succeeding verses too. The, you know, light was, there's a lot of was. But how come verse 5 is in present continuous? Why didn't he say, and the light shone? And the darkness did not comprehend it. Are you guys getting what I'm saying? There is something about that verse that, for me, I feel like I could just talk about that one and just go and sit down. The fact that the person that embodied light, Jesus, you can refer to him in past tense based on your reading, know, but the very thing that he came to do, the very personality of him, is a constant key. Bible says the light shines in the dark, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. Meaning, it's not like it happened then, so that we'll say that it's now. That light maybe not fake. Meaning, till Jesus Christ will come back, the light will continue to shine and the darkness will not be able to comprehend it. It's impossible. So I was really blown away by this. I'm like, now, wow. And the funny thing, I actually checked a couple other versions. Many of them record that verse in present continuous. So that really blew me away. The third thing I noticed is that light can be misunderstood or rejected. Verse 11. That light can be misunderstood or rejected. You know, it's funny because the Pharisees were the ones who were in custody of the Torah. They were the ones always reading what we call the Bible now. They were the ones always reading it. And so they knew enough of the Bible that you would expect that with all the prophecies that Isaiah and the rest of them had given about Jesus Christ, that once they saw Jesus, they'll know that, bam, this is the guy. Guess who missed it? The Pharisees. Like, he's right there in your face. He's there to tell you this is the way. To say that, I'm the way. I'm the one that has been written about. And somehow, the very people that should have known missed it. And it made me realize something. That it's very possible to be familiar with the things of God to the point where you become very familiar with God and then you insult God. Where he's right in your face, you're familiar with the things of him. You know, how we do church. Nobody to go to church. Nobody to do praise and worship. So praise and worship is going on inside, but you'd rather be on your phone in the back where you are or outside. To say, not be anointing service. And when we get to the part where the pastor, they pour oil for her, then we go serious. You just know so much about God. Saying, this devotion, self-devotion, devotion, everyday devotion. Why I go read my Bible? You're so familiar with the things of God that you transfer that familiarity to God himself. And the Bible says God cannot be mocked. So you're up there doing your own, feeling like you're still, I'm still going to church on Sunday, check. I still open my Bible once a week, check. And God is telling you, Chairman, that's not the real thing, though. So right there, it lets me know that light can easily be misunderstood or rejected, the same way the Pharisees rejected the light that was Jesus. The fourth thing it pointed out to me is that light is not discouraged. Somebody say light is not discouraged. Because the Bible lets us know that Jesus Christ came to those who were, in quotes, who were his own, but they rejected him. The next verse says, but to all who received him and believed in his name, he gave the right to be called children of God. Meaning, the very people that he thought, these ones you've been reading now, you will know about me. They rejected him. He moved on very sharply. Somebody else. Because guess what? Your light is always needed somewhere. Your light is always needed somewhere. They may not value your light here. Your light is always needed somewhere. You know, some years ago, I learned about one European company. I think it was a country. I think it's Germany. About how they came to install solar panels in the Sahara here to power up part of their country. Why? Because, you know, well, you may not know, but in the abroad, so to speak, their sun has low current. You're outside in the sun, and you're wondering who off lights, you know, like it's not burning you, it's not, it's just there. But us, our own here, even inside AC, you can feel the heat that is going on outside. So us, we don't value our own light. Abi? Because we have all this heat and our governments and our so-called investors, they're doing nothing about solving the power issue using solar. But the people that need it, that value it, guess what? They came to the Sahara, set up panel farms, solar panel farms, and then wired that all the way to Europe to power part of their country. Your light is always needed, guys. Your light is always needed. It may not be in your place of work. It may not be where you think you are right now, but your light is always in demand. Because guess what? We are in a dark world. Anyhow, any way you look at it, there's darkness all around, and so your light will be valued somewhere. Praise God. The fifth thing that I caught from this was in verse 18. If you can give me that projector. I'm only going to read this because we didn't read it earlier on. It says, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. So it says here that that light reveals God to us. If you carry light, this same light that the Bible says that Jesus Christ came to give us, if you really do carry light and nobody can see it in you, then we really need to begin to question your light. I'm not saying you must wear Jesus t-shirts. I'm not saying you must tattoo Jesus lover on your arm or put it on your forehead. It's in who you are. It's your nature. The same way it is light nature to dispel darkness. It's not a conversation. It's not a case of light. It's not a case of darkness. I come. You go. No. Light shows up and darkness, whew, it just isn't. And Bible says that it's been trying since then, till now, till forever. It cannot represent around there. What is it about this light that once it shows up, I'm gone. I'm irrelevant. I'm useless. Praise God. So, after reading all of this and extracting all of this, I'm like, okay, well, yeah, nice, makes sense. Okay, so what next? And I'm, again, puzzled by the fact that all John could do was mention very briefly the birth of Jesus. Like, he was painting me almost like I was Jesus. Like, can you tell my story a little bit more? And then it occurred to me that maybe it's because his birth, as dramatic as it was, everything from the prophecies that went forth, to angelic appearance, to immaculate conception, to what else? Traveling abroad to give birth, giving birth in a manger, all of that drama. Do you know that all of that drama, as beautiful as it was, would have amounted to nothing if he didn't die? So in the real sense of it, I felt like John was trying to say, look, the story of birth, awesome, man, good job. But you see, that's not what we're here to talk about. So it made me know that your own story too should not end at your birth. Because a lot of believers, our stories end at, I gave my life to Christ, I was baptized, and that's the end. You are like on low key to just Christ come, just maintaining the temperature. That's not how it's supposed to be. It's right there. John is telling us that, look, the story of his birth is amazing. Maybe some of that disciple will tell you about it, but as far as I'm concerned, that's a fraction of what he came to do. And I'm here to remind you this morning that your giving life to Christ is great, but it's a fraction, a very tiny fraction of what it is that you are here to do. I know, not your typical Christmas message, I'm sorry. But bear with me. No, it's apologetics. We are here to do what? To shine. After all is said and done, we are here to shine. And I don't mean shine the way the sanguine does, you know, arise and shine. That's not the kind of shine I'm talking about. I mean, it's a blessing, no shade. excuse me. So, like I was saying, your story shouldn't end at you're giving your life to Christ, being born again. Somebody say to be continued. Somebody say to be continued. There has to be a to be continued part of your story. There has to be I gave my life to Christ 10 years ago. What have you done in those 10 years? Okay, I gave my life to Christ 1 year ago. What have you done in that 1 year? Have you just been a bench warmer? Have you been active in one department 1 year and then tired the next year and then active the next year? What exactly is your story? Your story has to continue. It cannot end with just giving your life to Christ. Praise God. So, this brings me to my next, should I say, angle of this story. So if it is true that my story isn't meant to end after giving my life to Christ, then what? I'll tell you. The same way Jesus Christ's mandate was clearly stated in those first few verses, if you read it, as was also stated there. Projector, please give me Matthew 5:14-16. Awesome. Exact. So it says, here's another way to put it. You're here to be what? Come on, guys. You're here to be what? Bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. As public as a city where? Do you know that as much as Christmas is great with Santa Claus and Christmas trees and, you know, jingle bells, they've gone public, oh. Are we going public with a real story? Are we going public? I'd ask for 14:16. Can I have verse 15, please? If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Verse 16. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand. What's the next word? In case you missed it already, that's the title for this morning's sermon. It says, now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, what next? Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Our instruction as believers this morning is to shine. If you read, like, if you can find your time to go over the book of the story, the first chapter of John, the same way he kept talking about the light, the light, the light, that right there is a reflection of our own lives. Our instruction is to shine. Christmas is not about the new clothes. The new one happening is the Dirty December. How many of you have heard of Dirty December? Some people are too holy. How many of you have heard of Dirty December? I'll go on David's Army mode and not everybody now, hey, after. You know, where it's all about just party and fun. And of course, if you know anything about David's Christian Center, we're real. There's no crime in having a party. But the question is that really what December is about? Is that really what Christmas is about? The instruction, men and brethren, is to shine. And so I kept thinking to myself, okay, so what exactly does it mean to shine? This so-called instruction to shine. And as I thought about it, I was thinking about the areas of my life or other people who maybe have had opportunities to shine, but they didn't. So I'll give you a very short story. Some months ago, early in the year, I hired a new staff who claimed to have 3 years work experience. And then, emphasis on claimed. And then she starts work, you know, first month, we're still getting to know each other. But then you have experience, you're not an intern. So by second month, I'm like, Auntie, you're doing some things that you should not be doing. If you have the experience, you say you do. We shouldn't be having certain conversations. But guess what? It continued to the third month. The flag in me condoned her for another fourth month. And then I called her. I'm like, sister, all these things you're doing here is not going to help you. Was that not code enough for you will soon be kicked out? She didn't grab the message. In the fifth month, I started doing all the work she was supposed to be doing while she was standing there. Anybody with half a brain should know that when your guys have to do your work, you're on your way out. And I was working, and as I'm working, I'm looking at, you know, the eye contact of, Auntie, you will not collect this work. And she's just there, just standing, very happy to pass me. I kid you not. Pass me, oh, very happy. In her final month, the story is plenty. Where do I even start from? So, in her final month, I had already known I was going to fire her. Like, I was done. But I kept her because I needed to go on vacation. While I was away, the person I put in charge to manage the business, he sent me a voice note. I wish I could play it. The anger in his voice was, you could have touched it and held on to the anger in his voice. I'm like, Oga, what's going on? I said, this girl, what did she do? So, they had agreed to all resume at work, regular time, in fact, a little earlier because they had some deliverables, which was fine. Guess who showed up at 11:30 a.m.? Yep. She showed up at 11:30 a.m. And when she gets there, the manager I put there said, why are you just coming now? Did we not agree that we will be here early this morning? And she goes, but you can see it's raining now. Exactly. That was my reaction too. When I heard, I'm like, okay, not entirely surprising. A little disappointed, but not entirely surprising. And so, in his anger, he told her,
to leave, to just go home, aka we don't need you. In fact, that day he collected the office key from her and gave it to an intern. She's full-time staff. Oh. For them to collect office key from you and give it to an intern, you know that you're not very put together. And her response to him was, I'm not going to, you're not the one that employed me. This is somebody that I introduced to her as manager, aka me. She said, no, I cannot go, you're not the one that employed me. When I got back, the logical reaction would have been to, as I'm entering the office like this, get out. No. It would have been too easy for her. She'd have seen it coming. I don't like people seeing it coming. Yes. Yes. And so I waited till the end of the month. In between, she was still showing me. There was this day. So for those of you who don't know what I do, I run a bakery business. There was this day I was working in my office. I had some invoices to work on my computer for some clients. And I was doing all of that. I just had very clear in my spirit, go and look for this girl. I really didn't need anything from her. Like, oh. You know that extra work that you feel like the Holy Spirit is giving you that doesn't really make any sense? So I get her from my desk, and I go into the production area. And I'm calling her name. I'm calling her name. I'm calling her name. Ah, this is your office. If you're not here, where are you? So I ask the intern, where is this person? She says, oh, maybe she's in the ladies. Even if you're in the ladies, you will shout, now I'm busy or something. But in my mind, I'm like, maybe she's embarrassed. It's a lady thing. Moving on. I was going to go away. I have an oven room. My oven isn't in the production area. I have an oven room. I was going to walk away. And then I heard very clearly in my spirit to go and look at the oven room. Now, the door was closed. The door didn't have any business being closed. I'm like, right now, we're not baking anything. So can I just go back? But you know when the feeling is very strong. So I go to the oven room, which is literally next door to the production area. When I open the oven room door, men and brethren, I know you're on the edge of your seat waiting to know. You people like Jesus. So, I open the oven room door, and I find her in front of my oven, with the oven on, and with the oven door open. Now, my oven is about this tall. So, the oven is on. There are no cakes, no bake, no pastries, nothing in the oven. The oven is on, and the door is ajar. She's standing right in front of it. Thank you. So, I'm like, what's, you know when you, even you're saying, like, what's going on? The oven is open. I can see there's nothing in there. Why? And she quickly turns it off. What's the matter? She says, she was feeling cold. You know, right there, I wanted to hang the Jesus and wear a horn, two horns and a pitchfork and go all gangster on her. I just, as they're about to, you know when you're on the verge of spilling over, I just admire her. She's going next week. I just calmed down. I just smiled and I walked away. In her mind, Organo go vex. No, it's not a temperament something. It's because she will not see the end coming. So I walked away. In my office, I was boiling. I think I even called my wife. I'm like, hey, what's doing? During that same week, we are working, I'm doing the bulk of the work, and she has earphones plugged. And so when I give her an instruction, she has to do, sir, what do you say? Hey. Now, some of you are probably wondering what all this story has to do with the light, because I haven't forgotten where I started from. This is the same person that when I walk into the office, I mean, you must be there before me. That's why I pay you. So you get there, you clean up. It's not pride. I'm there early, but you just must be there earlier than me. So I walk into the office, and Bishop Boydepo message is playing from her phone, You understand? So she's forming, we are very spiritual, we love the Lord. So on one or two Fridays, she'll tell me, sir, can I go early? I need to go to vigil at Kinaland or whatever. And at that point, I'm like, so how does that affect my business, really? But sometimes I'm like, okay, you're a pastor now, let her go. So the point I'm trying to drive at is, this is somebody who, on the outside, wears Jesus. But is your light really shining? It's not. The day I let her go, it was the last day of the month, and I called her into my office at 2:05. We closed at 5. I called her into my office at 2:05. I didn't tell her in the morning. The whole day she had been feeling very good. Money will come in again today. I waited till the very last day, very last minute. And when I told her she was leaving, she did the typical thing. She knelt down and groveled and begged and told. And she made one statement that made me smile and also sort of annoyed me. She said, Oga, you're not like this. Meaning she knows that I'm very calm, very easygoing. Okay, you will not just fire me like this. Ah, sister. You don't even know the half of it. You have no idea. So yeah, that was the end of her. Moving on. And you know the funny thing? I got somebody else to replace her within a week or so. This person is a graduate. She's a trained nurse, has worked for years, just wants to, you know, go into this line of work. And when she came to meet me, she said that she wanted to work for 1 month for free as an intern. That if at the end of the 1 month, I feel like she's good enough, then I can take her on. Slight message. You know, sometimes there's a main plot, there's subplot. Subplot. Sometimes if you don't let go of what is in your hand, you'll not get a new thing. Because if I continue to condone her rubbish, I will still be angry. I'll be going to work upset. In fact, the day I knew she was going to go was, one day I got home and I told my wife, I'm having flashes of hitting her. I'm not a violent person. But you know when someone is so dense that it's like they're just annoying you every single time. Like, she needs to go, she needs to go, she needs to go. It's a miracle she stayed for 2 extra months, but moving on. The point I'm trying to drive out here, ladies and gentlemen, is the instruction we have as believers is to shine. Light shines. It doesn't struggle. It doesn't fight darkness. It just shines. It just is. It's its nature. And so the question is, how do we shine? There are plenty of things, though, but I don't have a lot of time. So I'm just going to run through a couple of them. The first thing is to follow Jesus. If you want to shine, if you want to be the light, you cannot but follow the light. Are you guys getting what I'm saying? If you want to be the light, you cannot but follow the light. Bible says that if you walk with the wise, you shall be. If you want to be the light, guess who you have to follow? The light. Projector, just put up on the screen John 8:12. Follow Jesus. Very key. That's the first thing if you want to know, if you want to shine. Second thing is fellowship. I know very many times we've heard, do not forsake the gathering of the brethren and all that, and it sounds almost cliched. See, we live in a dark world, and sometimes darkness threatens to snuff your light out. Without constant fellowship, your light is most likely going to be out and stay out. So it's like you've just gone through a bad experience, and your light, in quotes, is out. Guess where other candles are that can light you? In church. But if you remain in the darkness and stay at home, guess what? You will attract the same darkness. It's only a matter of time before people come to meet you and say, yeah, sorry for this thing we do you. The same thing do my sister Pekino that time. Ah, that year, make I give you gist. And from the gist, you feel like they're giving you, you know, comfort. What they're doing, they're drawing you away from the light. The very place you should run to is the place where other candles are so they can light you up and so you can stay lit. Thank you. That's very encouraging. The third thing you need to do is to be bold and cheerful. Be bold and cheerful. Psalm 27 verse 1, Tommy says that the Lord is my light and my salvation. In whom shall I fear? You need to wear your light boldly. And you also need to do it cheerfully. You can't say I'm a believer and then you keep acting like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. You need to be cheerful about this light that you carry because the world needs your light. The next thing you can do, now I'm literally running because I'm looking at time. This one struck me. I don't think I'd ever seen this verse this way. 1 Peter 2:9. I'm going to make us read this. The next one is to declare his praise. 1 Peter 2:9. It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may what? That's why you are all these things. I know many times when we recite it, you sort of get tired by the second or the third one and you just mumble through the rest of it. The reason why you are all these amazing things that God has called you is for one purpose. To do what? To declare the praises of him who called you. Interestingly, out of what? Into what? So one of the ways that you shine is to declare his praise. By declaring his praise, you are shining. By being bold of this gospel that you carry, you are shining. The next one here is Romans 1:16. We already know that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So the next one is to not be ashamed. You cannot be ashamed of the gospel that you carry. You must wear it boldly. Yesterday night, I got into a conversation with the Uber guy. I had gotten halfway. Me, I talked about Jesus. I talked about how God talks to me and plenty of many things before I realized he was even Muslim. In fact, he was one that told me that he was Muslim. But then, he was also telling me that he goes to CC, Covenant Christian Center, he goes to Daystar. So I didn't mention all the top churches, including, like he mentioned, when I said, do you know Pastor King? He said, ah, yeah, I know. So he knows. He goes to church. So I'm like, oh, brother, why are you still Muslim? Like, don't you think it's high time you decided? And then he got a little bit defensive. I started telling him about how, you know, people operate based on their own philosophy and their belief, that for him, he believes that we serve the same God. Me, I also know that life does not argue. So when you've approached me with that mindset, and you have, and I can hear the passion, I can see the vein coming out of your neck, I know that it's not the time to have the conversation. I was just happy that I found that out later. So it means that the first part of the conversation where I shared my experiences with God, all the times that God has spoken to me and, you know, all the major instructions I gave in my life and how they panned out, I'm happy I said all those, because guess what? I was shining then, and that light will touch him. One day, he'll be sleeping there, or just be resting, saying, this guy tell me this thing, oh. Jonathan, it's part of the watering system. It was Paul that said, remind me again. Paul planted, Abby. Thank you. Somebody does the planting, somebody does the watering. Me, I've watered my own and I've gone. You understand? You must also know when to argue, get into any conversations about so-called religion. And so, as I'm thinking about all this, the verse of scripture that jumps to my mind is that the path of the righteous, one of my favorite, my all-time favorite scriptures, is that the path of the righteous is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter onto a perfect day. And as I mulled over that verse of scripture, it occurred to me that, do you know that what gets brighter is not the light that you carry, it's your path. Many times when we share this verse of scripture, we often imagine that it's a light that's getting brighter and brighter. It's not the light, though. When you light a candle here, from now until next year, the brightness is not going to increase. It's the reach that will increase as it gets darker. So it's really the path, the journey, the testimonies, the experiences. Those are the things that get brighter and brighter. The actual light, Jesus Christ has given us the light. Bam, end of discussion. So don't think that your light is intended to get brighter. It's not. It's your experiences. It's your journey. It's your path. That is what is required to get brighter. Praise God. I must also say at this point that we may go through wilderness experience where we're tired, or it feels like things aren't working for us, or people just don't hear from you or know anything about you. It's the same thing with Jesus. We knew about him from birth. After birth, we didn't hear about him again until 12, and then he went off. After that, went again, 30. You have those moments in your life where it feels like nothing is happening. It's a build-up for the light, because when your light really does break forth, guess who's going to be beaming? It's going to be you. It's going to be you. It's going to be all of us beaming when you're done with your wilderness experience. Praise God. The final thing is to shine is that you should be generous. Hebrews 13, 1 to 3. Projector very quickly. It says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Verse 3. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are ill-treated as if you yourselves were suffering. You must be generous. Your generosity should often shock people. They shouldn't see your generosity coming. My wife was sharing with me yesterday when I got home. The security guard walked up to our door holding a loaf of bread. And my wife is like, oh God, don't tell me he wants to give us a loaf of bread. Not because she's embarrassed to collect it, but it's a case of, I know how much you're earning, like, keep whatever you have. And then he says, no, that he actually needs money to go and buy Coke to go with the bread. I know. Bold guy. Month never ended. Collect money for Coke. Well done, sir. So, my wife goes into the kitchen, and she's thinking about it, that Coke, Coke, Coke. Don't tell me he's going to finish that whole loaf of bread with just one bottle of Coke. So she grabs one boiled egg. She had boiled two eggs in the morning for her daughter. Forgot to give it to her daughter. Amazing how God works. She grabbed one boiled egg, and then grabbed a can of sardines, and went to give it to him. Now, she gave him, and then held some money for Coke as well. When she gave him the egg, he collected the egg and turned around. She's like, no, 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 wait. She gave him sardine. He collected it and walked away. When she now called him back and gave, wait now. She not giving money for the Coke. You know when he was like, it was Coke I asked for now, money for Coke. Like, you've pretty much given me a full meal. Your generosity should shock people. They shouldn't see it coming. It shouldn't be a case of, hi, yes, go give me 1K. Can you shock people with your generosity? Because that's what this is talking about here. It's another way to shine. It's not about going to motherless baby's home and taking pictures and saying, we came here. Nobody needs to know. Nobody needs to know. No shade if you're that kind of person. I don't know you. Like that. Praise God. So as I'm thinking about this verse, I'm thinking about the fact that a candle will typically not worry about taking care of itself. Have you ever lit a candle and the wind is blowing, heavy wind, strong wind, and you see the candle uproot itself and go and hide behind somewhere where there's shade? No. Guess who will protect the candle? You. You will pick up the candle and place it somewhere where the wind will not touch you. Put something to block it. Guess who is going to take care of you when the storms of life comes? Jesus. Your job is to stand and to shine. If he feels like you need to be moved, he will move you. If he feels like he needs to put a barricade to protect you, he will protect you. Your job, your primary duty is to stand and to shine. Finally. Your light will attract some people the same way to threaten some other people's existence. It's funny. The same star that led the wise men to Jesus was what Herod heard about and felt threatened and decided to go on a, yeah, you know the rest of the story. So your light will attract people and it will also threaten people. But if you look at that very short analogy I just gave you, it attracted wise men and threatened bad men. So don't be afraid. Your light will attract the right people to you. And your light will also threaten people who are not good for you. But guess what? The same way God protected Jesus, guess who's protecting you? The same God is protecting you. Hebrews 13 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he was good then, he is still good now. If he could protect you then, he can still protect you now. If he was guiding you then, he can still guide you now. Whatever it is that he was doing there, guess who is the constant K in life? Jesus. He can still do the very same thing to you today. Praise God. If you don't mind, please rise up on your feet. For the light that he is, and ask him to refill us, ask him to reignite us again, ask him for grace to shine this period and beyond, to be generous not only in December, to be generous all through the year, to follow him all through the year, to be bold all through the year, to declare his praises all through the year, regardless of what it is that we're going through. Just go ahead and open your mouth and ask him for help. Thank you for this insight this December, and thank you for the grace to go ahead into the new year, being the light that you are. Oh, thank you, Jesus. For in Jesus' name we pray. If you're blessed by this morning's service, I want you to put your hands together for Jesus as we welcome my pastor.